Next on BYUSN, Cougar football checks in at number 9 in the first college football playoff rankings. Is that straight disrespectful to BYU? National college football writer for CBS Sports, Shahan Jayaraja, joins us to discuss why he takes issue with BYU at number 9 and where he thinks the Cougars should be ranked.
Men's basketball opened up the Kevin Young era with a 38-point win over Central Arkansas. Our top takeaways from the first ball night. And how about Yegor Demon's record-breaking performance? Was he even better than we thought?
Coach Young's first victory as a Coug!
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Glad you all survived Super Tuesday. Speaking of BYU sports, naturally, I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who is welcoming the idea of Lob City in Provo, Utah, Jerem Jordan.
There was a lot of dunking going on last night. Cabe Ikeda, I expected to have like 3. I think he had the one off a missed free throw, which is fun. Cannon catchings, it was awesome. At March Madness, MBB tweeted about one of those lobs, which is pretty awesome. Yegor Demon to Cannon catchings, the freshman connection, which was awesome. What a night, man, in the Marriott Center. And lots to talk about on today's show.
Yeah, a lot of national writers dunking on the college football playoff selection committee as well.
Feeling riled up this morning, Spence.
Yeah.
Feeling riled up. Way more than I was on our reaction show last night. Just kind of taking it in the moment. Dust settles, you kind of look around, and I go, wait.
I feel worse
angry.
About this.
Yes, I'm more upset than I was last night.
Yeah.
Let's break it down.
Because it's not good.
Yep.
So join us in the movement. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. BYU at number 9.
BYU's come out of nowhere, and everyone's doubted them. Las Vegas has doubted. Like, everyone's doubted them every week, it seems like. Even now, to me, they're the most complete team in the Big 12.
What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. BYU football, engine number 9 in the first ever expanded 12-team college football playoff poll release. Again, as you just mentioned, Jerem, the more time that you had to digest where BYU was placed and look at their resume compared to more than a few of the resumes that are listed above BYU, it just is unsettling for Cougar football. I feel like this is a Charlie Brown and Lucy scenario, because I went in last night so hopeful that the committee would truly value the 2 ranked wins and the win against SMU, which was looking better and better. And when I saw SMU show up at number 13, I'm like, oh, yep, this is good things for BYU.
Nope.
But again, Lucy, as she does all the time, pulled the football from Charlie Brown, and here we are again, upset.
That's a reference for old people. That's us plus.
Just let us kick the football! Oh, Jerem, I'm going to ask the question. I think I know the answer, but was BYU disrespected by being put at number 9 in last night's poll?
Yeah, dog. When the dust settles, absolutely. I said a couple days ago, I thought 8 or 9 is where they'd put BYU. Yes, I think I was building in my expectation to be disappointed there, I guess. It's unfortunate that the brands and style points won out versus the actual games played, the resume. BYU has a better resume than Indiana, Penn State, and even Texas. There are only 2 teams, Spencer, with 2 top 20 wins in the college football playoff poll. It is Oregon at number 1, and it is BYU who somehow is at number 9. It's frustrating to have 2 quality wins, a top 5 strength of schedule, and have a better resume than a couple of teams in that you're behind. I could see Tennessee with the Alabama win and Texas even be ahead of BYU to round out like the top 5 of Oregon. I'd have Georgia second, not Ohio State, by the way, then Texas, Tennessee. But BYU could have been as high as 6th, and that would have made sense to me. I think if BYU was 8 ahead of Indiana specifically, we'd feel a little better
for sure
today.
Yeah,
but
for
7
sure
was probably the spot. It's just annoying that style points literally came into play. Shahan Jayaraja is going to join the program in the next segment. He asked the committee chair about why is BYU behind Indiana and style points and basically explosive offense from Indiana or Miami and all this stuff was part of that answer. Indiana does not have a top 20 win. And they've beaten everybody by 14 plus because they haven't played anybody. Their strength of schedule is 103.
What's Indiana's best win? Legitimately.
I don't know.
What is their best win? Washington?
I could look it up, but it's not against a ranked team, and BYU has not one but two. I could see if BYU had one of these, be like, well, was it an anomaly against Kansas State? Nah, look at SMU and Kansas State. Both are inside the top 20. So this is very frustrating. By the way, among the new top 25 against the new top 25,
sure,
the Kansas State win by 29 is the third largest margin of victory. If you want style points, look at that game. BYU is being punished for having explosive defense and explosive special teams.
Yes.
Offense gets the highlights and the respect. What about explosive defense, Spence? All the picks, the non-offensive touchdowns from the special teams. It's frustrating. It's annoying. And my real concern here is that because BYU is at 9, it would be hard to climb up to a spot where should BYU run the table and lose the Big 12 title game, are they a lock to still be in? I am more concerned today than I was yesterday about that.
You should be. You should be. My biggest issue is not with Indiana. It's with Penn State. I'm looking at what the Nittany Lions have done this year, and I said it before the poll came out yesterday. What's their best win? Illinois? Illinois does not look great right now.
Not ranked anymore.
Is it at USC? They survive a game against USC.
USC is 4-5.
33-30. Yeah. I know it's tough to win in LA. Long trip.
Oh, but what about Wisconsin? 5-4.
They played Bowling Green to a one-touchdown game. So you can't give me the, well, eye test of Indiana is better than BYU because they've destroyed their competition. When you look at Penn State, what's the eye test on Penn State then? If they survived Bowling Green and their best win is maybe a 3-point survival road win against middling USC.
It's like they value a close loss more than wins. Like the Ohio State game is weighing heavily.
They didn't score an offensive touchdown in that game. I know they were up 10-0 at a defensive touchdown. Well, Penn State did not score on an offensive touchdown against Ohio State on their home field.
Why is Miami 4? BYU literally has a better resume than Miami.
They looked great against Louisville, but they too have survived middling to porous competition at times. Yeah?
And it's okay to win close games against teams that you should have beaten by more. You still won the game. AKA Oklahoma State.
Yes.
AKA Virginia Tech for Miami. BYU should be higher. A couple days ago, I said, it doesn't matter whether. No, it matters. I was wrong. Like, it matters because the climb, Miley Cyrus, is going to be harder than we think. If BYU wins out, can they lose a game and still get in the playoff if it's the Big 12 title game? Can a two-loss BYU team, clearly, I don't think will have a shot at the playoff as an at-large based on what we saw last night as an undefeated. I am really concerned. So BYU's job now, Spence, is to win out, and then they got to win the Big 12 title game. Or go 3-1 and win the Big 12 title game. Like, can they lose the Big 12 title game and still in?
Hopefully. It depends on how many bid stealers there are on conference championship Saturday.
You want the ACC just to have one.
So.
And you want SMU to actually lose? Like, it's tough, man. It's tough.
BYU, if they don't win the Big 12 title game, you do not want any bid stealers. You want the teams that are supposed to win their conference championship games to win convincingly.
We're really just talking about the ACC there, right? Because the Big Ten and the SEC, like, whoever's in that game, both those teams will be in.
Should be, yeah.
Both those teams will be in the playoff. Right now it
feels like a lock.
Right now it'd be like what? Oregon, Ohio State, and then like Georgia, Texas type stuff. So it's like, yeah, those teams are in. And then a two-loss SEC or two-loss Big Ten team against a one-loss BYU potentially. You just feel like the committee is not going to, based on last night, not going to value BYU at the level that we were hoping.
There are very few pitfalls ahead for the teams that are ranked 4-8, right in front of BYU.
Yes.
The only team that really has a tough schedule remaining of those five teams is Tennessee.
Okay, starting
they play
at
four, Georgia.
Teams that have a ranked team left, four on. Texas at Texas A&M, Tennessee at Georgia, Indiana at Ohio State, and then Penn State does not. Miami does not.
Here's my thing: if Indiana plays Ohio State tough, let's say Indiana
BYU does not. By the way,
say Indiana loses a close game, then what do you do with Indiana? They're still in.
Hopefully, they'll fall behind BYU in the rankings though. that week. But
you never
does
know.
Does BYU maintain? You have to win. Like, does BYU have to go 13-0 to get to the playoffs?
Like a
is
one
that the
loss
only way?
Here. This is what this tells me: a one loss Indiana is going to be ranked above a potentially one loss BYU. That's what this tells me.
I don't like it, and I think that's right. Meaning, that's what the committee will do. It's not the right move.
No, but that's what where they ranked the undefeated teams of Indiana BYU last night and cited eye test. And they've won all their games by 2 touchdowns. Okay.
What about explosive defense?
That tells me that even if Indiana loses to Ohio State, and I think they will, if BYU loses one game, BYU with the same record as Indiana will be behind Indiana.
Unfortunately, the quest for perfection's on, probably.
Mm.
I don't like it at all.
And listen, we're not the only ones with the chapped hides here. Okay?
Good for us.
This narrative is being pushed by plentiful members of the national media and notable ones, specifically Greg McElroy, who immediately went to bat for BYU last night.
On the show, in the middle of it.
As soon as the Cougars came in at number 9.
Yep.
And I quote Greg McElroy, the former Alabama quarterback and national champion.
Who's been on the program, who came to a BYU camp in high school.
He's awesome. He says, if I'm BYU, I'm really upset. First and foremost, I run the risk of not securing a first-round bye.
Yep.
If Boise State ends up in front of me, so the fact there is only a margin of 3 spots between 12 with Boise State and BYU at 9 is ridiculous. He continues, I'm sitting there behind Texas, Penn State. I'm also sitting there behind Tennessee. Texas and Penn State don't have a win against a top 25 team. I have 2. And guess what? I, BYU, haven't lost. So if I'm BYU, McElroy continues, I'm a little frustrated with how this has shaken out, end quote.
He was like mocked a little bit on the set for saying that. But hey, he's spitting facts right there. He's spitting facts. What? So just because you're Texas, you get ahead there? Like just because you're Penn State? What have you actually done?
If the committee
what have
wanted
you
to
actually
cite,
done on the field?
Like, okay.
Who have you actually played?
Texas has destroyed everybody except for Georgia. Clearly Texas is an elite college football team. I'm okay with Texas.
I'm okay with Texas.
Receiving the eye test treatment.
Sure.
I'm not okay with
not Penn State.
Indiana receiving the eye test treatment and Penn State not being given or being given the liberty of surviving Bowling Green and USC. And they're number 6?
BYU should be ranked ahead of Miami. That's not going to be a popular take because they have Cam Ward. They have 1 win. It's 22 Louisville. BYU has 2 wins inside the top 20. This is tough. Okay, other reaction from national media. Nicole Auerbach. Okay, Texas being ranked 4 spots ahead of BYU, considering the Cougs' wins over SMU and Kansas State is surprising. Both those wins are better than any win Texas has. That is true. I am okay given what Texas has looked like. I'm actually okay with eye test on that one.
But Texas brings back a majority of the team that made the college football playoff last year.
Right. They're a proven commodity.
They're a good team.
Like, that one I'm okay with. I'm not okay with Penn State. I'm not okay with Miami. I'm definitely not okay with Indiana. Tennessee I'm okay with. They've beaten Alabama, which is a better win than what BYU has now.
Sure. They lost to Arkansas, which is not a great loss.
Right.
Arkansas's middle of the pack SEC.
Right. And remember how close BYU is to not being in this conversation with Oklahoma State. They needed like a miracle. Like I value any kind of win. And if you lose a close one here, but you make up for it with a great win, great. Tennessee has a better win than BYU has at the moment, but BYU has 2 top 20 wins. So I could see an argument for Tennessee too. Yeah, SEC Big Ten got a lot of love, which was to be expected.
Adam Rittenberg at ESPN Rittenberg posted on X, agree with Greg McElroy on BYU. Cougars should be getting way more credit for the SMU win and the K-State blowout.
Yeah.
Those are better wins than Texas or Penn State has.
And Indiana.
I feel like the ideal scenario here for BYU, if we were to re-rank this thing, is if BYU showed up at number 7, we would have no issue.
Yeah, no issue.
No issue.
Yeah.
I mean, we might say, well,
could have been 6.
Miami and Texas and Tennessee. Like, there's a case for BYU against those teams for sure. But if BYU were ahead of Penn State and Indiana, I think we'd all be, collectively fine. Would we not?
Yeah, I think so. Brandon Walker of Barstool Sports. Everybody's saying Indiana needs more respect. What about BYU, who has 2 good wins to Indiana 0? There's no world that Indiana should be above BYU, which is wild. So BYU is the front runner. Is the 4 seed projected? Oh, by the way, McElroy mentioned it. It's a great point to bring up. Boise State's only 3 spots behind. what, like, could the Big 12 champ actually be the 5 seed and not get a bye? Because Boise State's not going to play anybody.
The rest of the way. I went into last night believing that surely the committee will value 2 ranked wins for BYU.
I'm serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Like, they're going to value it. The strength of record is so strong. BYU's 2 impressive wins are going to matter. And they didn't really.
Like, would BYU be number 9 if they had 0 ranked wins like this? Like, do those wins even matter?
If BYU
would they be number 9 without SMU and
had
Kansas
0
State?
Ranked wins,
if they played
what would
Buffalo
happen?
And Cal, would they be not, would they be in the same spot?
They'd probably be 11-13, based on what has happened here.
Notre Dame and Alabama would be out of them.
Maybe. Well, BYU hasn't played anybody. That's not an argument.
But
this
neither
time
is Indiana.
BYU has neither played is teams. And they beat them, and they won at SMU, and they embarrassed Kansas State. But they survived it. They played a close game with Baylor and Oklahoma State. They won.
Here's what I hope happens. That BYU goes, they still don't believe in us.
Yes.
They still don't believe.
That is the silver lining.
They go up to Salt Lake. They kick butt. They come back and beat Kansas at ASU, which is a tough game as well. Houston, you go to the Big 12 title game. You win that. Boom. You are number 3 or 4 seed, and all is fine.
4 seed at
worst. You control your own destiny.
BYU controls their own destiny to be the 4 seed in the college football playoff.
Went out. Pressure's on.
5 Super Bowls remaining. You win them all, you're the 4 seed at worst in the college football playoff. But, yes, that is the silver lining.
This cannot be a one heading to Hawaii. Oh, we didn't get what we wanted. We're disappointed. Now we fizzle out. They cannot be that.
No.
It cannot be that. No Luke Staley injury. Like, BYU needs to go up, not down off this. Up, up, up.
BYU, when they are perturbed this season,
is 8-0.
Have performed extremely well in those specific games. The trap game was Oklahoma State. They survived it.
Yeah.
All the national media was all about BYU that week, and that's tough to handle. That was not we're disrespected. That was BYU's finally respected, and they survived it. Now they're perturbed again, and they have performed well in these situations.
Bothered Brigham.
Yes.
It's alliteration.
Yes.
Bothered Brigham.
It's a good thing.
Hopefully show up Saturday.
Our question of the day, was BYU disrespected by being ranked number 9 in the first college football playoff poll? Andrew Smith, 94 on Instagram, says, yes, and I love it going into the Utah game. This is just what BYU needed.
Keep winning, and it'll be fine, but it's just hard. You wanted space for a potential loss if there's one there.
Hashtag BYUS on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. More of those responses later in the show.
Meanwhile, College Hoops opened up last night for Brigham Young University's intercollegiate men's basketball team. Yegor Demon, collegiate debut of 18 points, 11 assists, 4 steals, 4 rebounds. By the way, those 11 assists, a BYU season opening record by anybody ever from Brigham Young. Was he even better than you thought?
He shot the ball better than I thought he does.
Yeah.
He
made 4 threes.
He has been working on a higher release point because he got to BYU and it was more of a push shot. They've worked on a higher release. It's helped his shooting percentages in practice. That translated to the floor. So specifically there, he was better than I thought he would be. 4 threes is amazing. We all knew he could pass the ball and that he could open up the floor in beautiful ways for this BYU offense. But how he shot the ball, that surprised me pleasantly. And yes, he is a special, special player. If you include the exhibition, I know he didn't score, Jaren, but he still had how many assists? A dozen?
Yeah, 11.
12?
He had 11.
11 in the exhibition?
22 in 2 games in the marathon.
22 assists.
He just had 1 turnover last night. That assist to turnover ratio is pretty good.
I thought he had 2, but they didn't give him a turnover.
They gave Cannon 1.
Yeah. He is as advertised and then a little bit better.
He's an NBA player on the roster right now. Like, he could play in the NBA right now. It is going to be so fun to watch him play. Everything you said, plus, like, it's so fun. He sees above the defense, vision's outstanding. If he can shoot the ball like that too, are you kidding me? Like, he truly looks like a top 10 draft pick, like the way he played last night. Competition's going to get tougher. We all know that. But it was a great start for Yegor Demon.
He came over to me after our interview. He's got, I've got blood on my shirt. Is that going to be a problem? Did I speak well? I'm like, Yegor, you can do no wrong right now. All BYU fans, which, by the way, love everything about you.
I love his accent because it's not 100% Russian to English. It's Russian to Spanish to English because he learned Spanish. So, like, listen to it. It's a very fun accent. He's got a little of both in there. He's great. He's great.
He told me, he's like, you said my dad was watching in Russia. He's like, you wouldn't believe how many people are watching in Russia. It's a it's a big group of people up at like 5 a.m.
That's beautiful.
Just going bonkers.
And of course, they're like, we expected 18 points, 11 assists, 4 steals, 4 rebounds.
Yeah, special player. Fun to watch the national media react to Yegor as well.
Yes, and here's what he told you after the game.
Oh, this is great. It's nothing much to say at this point. It just really loud. It's great. It's feeling so good. And it's really hard to say my emotions right now.
I asked him how it felt to play in front of the Marriott Center crowd. 16,900 and change. And
not bad for Central Arkansas.
Yeah, on election night, no less.
Only 1,000 empty seats in theory.
Yeah. An incredible performance from Yegor.
Awesome.
Cannot wait to see what he does, especially when you get the likes of Kansas and Arizona and Baylor in that building.
I heard they're coming.
All right. What were your other takeaways from specifically Kevin Young's first game as a Division I head coach?
Dustin Baker told us on Friday that they would shoot 30 or more threes. They shot the second 44? Most threes in a game in BYU history. The most is 46 against Cincinnati last year to start Big 12 play, by the way. 43 in last year's opener. So I don't know what it is about openers. Took him a minute to get into the game. Kevin Young told you at halftime and after the game that, we were nervous. I was nervous. It's new. It's exciting.
So much unknown.
Once they settled in, it was pretty good because they struggled from three to start. I think 5 of 20 to begin. Ended up shooting 34% there. Kenny Ketching settled in after going 1 of 5 from three. He goes 3 of 6 from three after that. 17 points. Kay Bakeda had 10 boards. Richie Saunders in the starting lineup was a beast. 16 points, 8 rebounds. Mihailo Boskovic, we had questions about whether he would be eligible and be good to go. 11 points off the bench, including the very acrobatic jump from outside the key, layup.
I love English on the ball.
Little English. We didn't know necessarily that Dallin Hall wouldn't play in this game. I mean, BYU looked good without Dallin. You add Dallin, you're even better. So I was really impressed with how BYU performed last night. I'm excited.
I appreciate how candid Kevin Young is. Mm-hmm. He's very genuine in his answers. I mean, how many coaches are just going to say, I was really nervous. Like, I was nervous.
Who admits they're nervous?
Right?
Yeah, I love that.
I love the straightforward, direct approach, which, again, plays into why so many people, his staff, and players love him, is everything is intentional and candid and genuine. And this was what he said about the celebration following his first ever win as head coach.
That was cool. You know, we got an unbelievable group of guys, you know, top to bottom, and it was a nice cold shower they gave me, but fun to start out with a win, and just happy with the way our guys kind of rallied there after a slow start.
An 11-0 run with about 8-9 minutes left in the first half, really separate. It's calmed the team down and created some separation. Happy for Kevin and his staff, and I look forward to the versatility that this team has, the depth on display last night, Jerem.
Dude, they went 10 deep, and it was good 10.
Again, with 10 deep without Dallin Hall.
Yes. Dawson Baker struggled 0 for 7. He's not going to shoot like that in another game this year.
And guess what? Trevin Nell went 1 for 10 in the blue-white scrimmage.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's okay. This is a game to get it out, right? 6 points, 6 rebounds for Foos. It was fun, man.
We get to watch him play again on Friday night against UC Riverside.
Okay, and in the locker room, you mentioned they doused Coach Young with water. Here's what it looked and sounded like.
Coach Young's first victory as a coup!
Yay! That's awesome, man. So he had to dry off. He looked super dry in your interview.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in reality he wasn't.
It took a little while.
On TV, I was like, he got wet?
Yeah, so the initial plan was Coach Young likes to get the interviews done quickly. He's efficient. He just wants to get on.
Let's go to the next thing.
I'm like, what's taking so long? Now I know why.
Yeah. You celebrate the good times.
Absolutely.
When are you going to celebrate them? Celebrate them now. Come on. Hey, Saturday, big game with Utah,
hopefully,
obviously.
There are celebrations on that night for BYU fans, too.
We got women's hoops that afternoon. We also have, of course, the game day schedule. BYU Sports Nation, game day 8 Eastern on BYU TV, live from Rice-Eccles Stadium and Studio B. Cougar pregame live at the same time on BYU Radio. The games on ESPN and BYU Radio. The postgame on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Cannot wait for that Saturday night, baby.
Right after the break, Shahan Jayaraja of CBS Sports, national college football writer, on where he thinks BYU should have been ranked
in the first college football playoff poll, and who's his most overvalued team in the poll. Stay with us.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
BYU at number 9.
BYU's come out of nowhere, and everyone's doubted them. Las Vegas has doubted, like everyone's doubted them every week, it seems like, even now. To me, they're the most complete team in the Big 12.
The narrative continues on BYU underdogs for the season. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is a national college football writer for CBS Sports. He is Shahan Jayaraja. Great to have you on the show. BYU Sports Nation is understandably a little confused about where BYU showed up in the college football playoff last night, Shahan. So how do you see BYU at number 9, and what was your initial reaction to the Cougars in that spot?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. I thought that they were going to be a team that maybe had a chance to be even higher. And when you look at the way that the playoff committee evaluated their resume, I think it makes even less sense, right? You have a team like SMU, of course, at number 14. You have Kansas State at number 19. These are two teams that BYU has good wins against, and yet they're behind a bunch of teams that don't have a single ranked victory. Actually, if you look between 6 and 9, the teams that are 4 spots in front of them have as many combined ranked victories as BYU has. And I just don't really get the logic behind this. Now, look, if you want to look at stuff like the advanced analytics rating system, stuff like that, like BYU doesn't rate as highly as other teams. But I think that when there's a 5-spot gap between a team like BYU and number 4 Miami, for example, who only has 1 ranked win at this point, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Is it star power? Is it explosive offense? Is that what's missing for BYU? Because BYU is a good to very good offense. They don't have a star per se, a bunch of very good players, but you don't have Cam Ward. You don't have the brand recognition of Texas and Penn State and Tennessee. Is it star power? Is that what's missing here?
Well, I think that BYU is an interesting team to try to evaluate in some ways. And I actually asked Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel last night on the media call, and he's the chair of the CFP committee. Why was it? What is the reason for this giant disparity? And he pointed to 1 eye test, which to me is a little bit of a cop-out, and 2, that Miami has an explosive offense. And I think it's just easier to tell yourself a story and a narrative about what Miami does well than at times it is BYU. I got a chance to talk to some of BYU's staff this past week, and that's something that they acknowledge. Like, we don't do one thing well. We kind of do everything well. We've had games that we've won with our defense. We've had games that we've won with our offense. We've had games that we've won with our running game, with our passing game, like everything. And to me, in a lot of ways, the ability to win games in different ways is a positive. But I think that it makes it more difficult for potentially a committee member to say, hey, when I sit down and I think about BYU playing against Texas or Miami or Georgia or any one of these teams, what is it going to look like? Because BYU does something different every single week.
Shahan Jayaraja of CBS Sports is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, Shahan, if you were to re-rank the college football playoff poll, and you were the guy who was placing all of these teams in where you believe the correct positions are, where would you rank BYU amidst all the other teams that you've discussed?
Well, I do think that the top 3 to me is pretty set. When you're talking about Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, those should be the top 3. I think that if you wanted to, you could make a case for BYU as high as number 4. I'd probably have them somewhere in that 4, 5, 6 range. I'd certainly have them ahead of Penn State, a team that has no ranked victories to this point. I'd have them ahead of Tennessee, who has a loss to Arkansas that really isn't aging very well. The BYU-Indiana conversation is pretty interesting, as is the BYU-Texas conversation. I wouldn't fault anybody who has those two teams ahead of BYU, but I think that BYU certainly should be in that 4, 5, 6 range. And again, especially when you're comparing them to 1-loss teams, like, I really need to see a very positive data point outside of the loss in order to try to make a case. Like, with Texas, at least you can say they've dominated everybody but Georgia on their schedule. They're winning games by huge margins. You can't say that about Penn State. You can't say that about Tennessee. And so I think that 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that range would have made a lot of sense.
Now we look at the rest of the season and, like, okay, what's possible for BYU? Obviously, if you run the table and you win the Big 12, you're in. You're a 3 or 4 seed, depending on what shakes out in the ACC, you would think. Boise State creeping there at Number 12, they don't have a game that looks like they look like they could lose. Upsets happen. But my real concern here is that there could be a one, like if BYU is undefeated, goes to the Big 12 title game, loses to, say, an Iowa State, a Kansas State, or a Colorado, that a one-loss BYU team would get similar treatment to what they got last night, which is, I don't know, look at these SEC and Big Ten teams. Is there concern for Cougar Nation of the possibility of that happening? Being a one-loss Big 12 a title game loser that doesn't get in the playoff, or am I crazy?
No, I think that's very much a possibility. And actually, when they came in at number nine, that was my huge concern with them, is I don't see them as being a sure thing. You look at Miami, for example. If Miami loses in the ACC title game, I think that that means that they would be, you know, number nine or 10 and the ACC would get two teams in. I don't feel as confident with that in the Big 12. And the other piece of this, too, it's not just whether BYU loses this game, but let's say, for example, that BYU drops one of the final three or four games before going to the Big 12 title game and winning. Well, would a 12-1 BYU that, by the way, has two top 20 victories be ranked for sure ahead of Boise State? Would there be a risk that BYU wouldn't even get that first round bye potentially that's given to the top four conference champions? So again, if BYU is 5 or 6, we're not having these conversations. This isn't at risk. And if you're the Big 12, you feel like, okay, maybe there is a pathway to getting a second team into the field. But between Iowa State losing last week and dropping all the way to number 17 and BYU coming in at number 9, I think that really the entire conference is in a much more precarious position than I felt like they would be whenever the first rankings came out.
Shahan, I'm looking at all of the teams above BYU, especially in those 4 to 8 spots, and a lot of those teams have favorable schedules moving forward. So naturally, I'm wondering, well, even if BYU wins out, how much could they actually jump up in this college football playoff poll if they do what they're supposed to do? Because outside of Indiana playing at Ohio State, are there any other pitfalls for the likes of Miami and Tennessee and Penn State and Texas even?
Well, and I think that when you look at the field, right, it's like Penn State is essentially already in. Like, they don't even have another losable game on their schedule. Tennessee plays Alabama, but there's also risk, by the way, that if Alabama beats Tennessee, or sorry, it's Georgia who plays them later in the year, like, you're potentially in a position where Alabama could move up. Where Texas A&M, they play Texas later in the year, they could move up. So I think that while, you know, maybe there are one or two teams who have a chance to fall from ahead of BYU, there's also teams that I think have a chance to come up and encroach, even as potentially two lost teams. So there is upside, certainly. I mean, again, when you look at Georgia, for example, they have to play both Ole Miss and Tennessee in the closing weeks of the season. Again, there are teams that I think are going to lose games. But it's probably only one or two. And like you said, I don't think that there's any guarantee that BYU will have a whole lot more to climb.
It'll be interesting to see if the Big 12 can somehow get two bids. The ideal scenario is what we talked about. BYU wins out. They lose the Big 12 title game. Well, not for BYU fans, but for the Big 12. And then say an Iowa State or Colorado or whatever wins. Now you potentially get two in, but we talked about the possibility of no. But how fun has this season been? Because it's made the regular season even more relevant. The expanded playoffs been amazing. Is this the most fun you've had in a college football season up to this point?
Yeah, I think that it has to be. You know, you look at, one, the amount of upsets that have happened to this point. I mean, you look around the SEC, there isn't a single undefeated team remaining on the entire board. You look at the Big 12, I mean, it has been so different than how I anticipated. I had Iowa State certainly near the top, but for a team like Oklahoma State, for Arizona, for Kansas to have fallen all the way to the bottom, it has been one of the most unpredictable years that I've ever seen covering college football. And look, I think the other piece of this too, when we go into a 12-team playoff, is we have seen that there are not teams that are infallible. Like, Oregon is undefeated to this point, but they nearly lost to Boise State. They should have arguably lost to Ohio State. I think that there are going to be more upsets than people understand when we head into this 12-team playoff. It's really hard to play top 12 teams game after game after game. I think that we really could be looking at a wild finish to December and January.
He is a national college football writer for CBS Sports, Shahan Jayaraja on BYU Sports Nation. We, I think, agree that BYU is probably the most undervalued team of the 12 that are currently in the projected bracket, Shahan. But who's the most overvalued team in that same instance?
I think it's Penn State right now, because you look at them, they have a 21-7 victory over Illinois, but Illinois is not top 25 at this point. They have a loss to Ohio State that's technically one score, but their only touchdown came on a pick six. Like, that was not a competitive game that Penn State really had any chance to win. And you start looking up and down the rest of their schedule. A 33-30 win over USC. Well, USC's fighting for bowl eligibility. A 34-27 win over Bowling Green, a MAC team. Like, what is the basis for them being in the top six? I just don't see the vision for them right now. And again, they don't have more opportunity to continue to build on their resume as well, because they are very likely not going to be playing in the Big Ten title game, and they don't play any other quality teams for the rest of the season. I don't understand the logic of them being number six, again, ahead of a team like BYU. I think even ahead of a team like Indiana, who's beaten everybody on their schedule by two touchdowns. And to me, like, I think that they are at heavy risk of being the first team to lose a home game potentially in the college football playoff.
That would add to the already weird resume of James Franklin, where he's very good but still looking to kind of turn that corner. Had an opportunity last week. Okay, BYU takes on Utah this week. Certainly all this rhetoric around BYU is contingent on continuing to win. Cougars haven't won up in Salt Lake since 2006. How are you feeling about that matchup in a rivalry game that's now a conference game again?
Yeah, this is going to be such an interesting game, because BYU should win, right? BYU is the better team, I think, almost in every aspect at this point. But rivalry games, man, you just don't know about them. And I think heading into this game against Utah, it's going to be incumbent on BYU to just play within themselves. Don't take too many chances. Don't make mistakes. And just try to play Utah head up, because BYU can win that way. I think the other piece of this, too, is that this is going to be a really big game for the BYU defense. If they can force some takeaways, especially on quarterback Isaac Wilson, I think that that puts them in a really good position to win this game. Now, again, The other piece of that is going to be, like, Utah still has one of the better defenses in the Big 12. BYU is going to have to be effective down to down. They're going to have to run the ball at a consistent level. They're going to need to be consistent in the passing game. It's going to be a big Jake Retzlaff game, I think, and I think that it's incumbent on him not to turn the ball over. So I do have BYU winning this game, but it could get hairier than people expect.
Shahan, where can BYU fans find more of your content right now?
Yeah, you can follow me on all social media platforms at Shahan J. Araja. You can read all my work at CBSSports.com. Make sure and check out my podcast, The College Football Survivor Show.
We need to say thank you for fighting the good fight on behalf of BYU.
Be outraged with us. Thank you.
We appreciate your insight and certainly your coverage of college football. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. Shahan J. Araja of CBS Sports, national college football writer.
Good stuff. Broke it down really well. Love that.
Absolutely. What is
Join us in the fight.
What is Penn State's resume right now? We said it in the initial reaction show.
I'm annoyed, man. Four seed women's soccer. Not annoyed about them. They've been awesome. Taking on one seed TCU in the Big 12 tournament semifinals today. 5:30 Eastern on ESPN+. Come on, Cougs.
We've got your Wednesday headlines after the break, including some reaction from BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill when asked about said rivalry game against Utah this Saturday. What does he think of what the Utes bring to the table? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Yo, what up? Follow BYU Sports Nation on social for content throughout the day, and sometimes we do live reaction shows like we did last night on Facebook, yes. X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jaron. Let's roll out your headlines.
BYU's number 9 in the first college football playoff committee rankings. Projected 4 seed is the front runner in the Big 12. Sounds good, right? Well, we're a little riled up about it. Felt like BYU should have been higher. It's the Cougars' highest ranking in the poll's history.
BYU football preparing for Saturday's rivalry showdown at Utah. Yesterday, following practice, defensive coordinator Jay Hill in year 2 of his regime there spoke about coaching for BYU in this rivalry specifically after having played at and coached for Utah.
It was awkward at first, and then, like I say, when you put your heart and soul into a job and these players and the administration and everything that goes on here, then it's another game to us right now, and it's a job that we have to do, and I'm excited for the matchup, and I'm excited for the familiarity that there is in this game. So I think it all adds to the excitement and fun of it.
I've got good news for Jay Hill and BYU and all BYU fans. The Cougars have not lost in an election week since 1972.
That's a good one. Someone tweeted that.
Yes, someone. I will give the reference in just a moment.
Yeah.
I'll give credit where it's due. Okay. Where it's due in just a moment. They have not lost an election week since 1972.
So blue-red weeks have worked out for BYU.
Yes.
Nice. I like that.
Pre-game coverage for Saturday's game begins 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Men's basketball beat Central Arkansas 88-50 in the season opener. The Cougars opened up the Kevin Young era. Yegor Demon shined in his BYU debut. A double-double of 18 points, 11 assists, 4 boards, 4 steals, just 1 turnover. Mm. Fellow freshman Cannon Ketchings had 17 points, 2 block shots. Richie Saunders at 16, Mihailo Boskovic 11. Up next, a home game against UC Riverside on Friday night.
BYU women's basketball tips off their season tonight against Idaho at the Marriott Center. Amber Whiting in year 2 as head coach. You can watch or listen beginning at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Year 3?
Year 3, that's right. Yeah. Year 2 of Big 12 play.
There you go. Yes. Women's soccer is a 4 seed, takes on 1 seed TCU in the Big 12 tournament semifinals this afternoon. Kansas City, 5:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Horned Frogs won the regular season matchup 4-1, but BYU playing great ball right now.
And BYU men's and women's cross country both ranked number 1 in this week's USTF CCCA poll after winning their respective Big 12 titles over the weekend. After the break, do you believe BYU was straight up disrespected with a number 9 ranking in the college football playoff poll? More responses to our question of the day after this. Are you as incensed as we are? This is BYUSN.
Join us, won't you?
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Studio B. He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. Our question of the day, was BYU disrespected by being ranked number 9 in the college football playoff poll? At Hasro24 on X answers, yes, 100%. They see BYU and think they've played a soft schedule and will crumble late in the season.
It shouldn't be about what could happen. Soft compared to the SEC.
Schedule?
61.
Okay.
But they beat 2 ranked teams.
2 top 20 teams.
Top 20.
Not top 25, top 20.
Again, I'll repeat the stat from the A block. That's what we call it in the biz, in what's trending. Oregon and BYU are the only 2 teams with 2 top 20 wins.
He continues, BYU needs to win out with style points. Style points matter.
I don't think that's going to happen. That's not how this BYU team and offense operate. That's not how the head coach thinks. They think, we will win this game. And so sometimes Aaron Roderick will gear down to chew clock, and he knows that his defense is good, and you can pin a team back. So UCF gets it to within
13
or something late.
BYU won that game convincingly.
Now, they beat Arizona by 22, Kansas State by 29. You've had a couple close ones with Baylor and Oklahoma State. I don't think BYU cares about margin of victory. I think they care about the win column.
Which is clearly the most important.
Well, not to the committee.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Found the reference of our election night stats.
Oh, yeah, who was it?
Okay, from at Dallin Dickerson, speaking of our social media segment. He says, if you guys need a useful stat, turns out BYU hasn't lost in an election week since 1972.
That's not useless. I think that's pretty fun. Yeah, good stuff.
We'll take all the good vibes we can get this week.
We're in this together. It's called BYU Sports Nation.
Now, what's interesting is at Dallin Dickerson also responded to our question of the day.
Keep going, Dale.
On X and says, I'm honestly pumped about the ranking. Yes, BYU should have been higher, but they're still top 10 and disrespected. This team loves that. It's the best of both worlds.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, things change. You evolve. Your opinion changes and things happen. More information. Rewind like 3 months and we're like, we're complaining about being in the top 10. Well, yeah, we have merit to complain. Therefore, we will. We like to be a little petty and vindictive
How
on this program.
How many people, though? It was Joel Klatt, Greg McElroy, Nicole Auerbach, Chris Vanini.
We were not alone in this fight. Like, we went to Martin Van Buren, and he didn't say, your cause is just, I can do nothing for you. The national media said, your cause is just, we can do something for you. We can complain with you on social media. We can talk about this on national programs. So now it's up to BYU to continue to win, Spence. But our conversation isn't, if they went out, they're in the playoff. Of course they're in the playoff if they went out. Come on. Is there room to have a loss and still get in at large?
If BYU gets to the Big 12 championship game undefeated, and they are number 7 in the college football playoff
poll. That's your cut line there?
If they lost in the Big 12 title, as long as they're as high as number 7 going into that championship weekend, then they would stay in the top 12.
Let me add some numbers to that, and I think that's interesting. So I looked up during the break, okay, and how many 0 or 1 loss teams on selection day on when they're dishing out bowl games and whatnot, how many 0 or 1 loss teams were there? In 21, there were 5. In 22, there were 4. In 23, there were 7. In that situation, BYU would be good as a 1 loss team. You're in the playoff. This year, there are still 12 teams that have 0 or 1 loss. So you got to root for chalk and for some of these other teams to not steal bids. So I would say Oregon needs to win out. Miami needs to win out. And then you want Ohio State to get upset somewhere. Georgia's probably going to be in, but they still have Ole Miss and Tennessee. They lost twice.
Yeah.
That'd be weird. I don't see them losing twice, though. Texas at Texas A&M. That'd be a second loss. I think a two-loss team gets behind BYU in the polls. Penn State, get upset by somebody. They ain't played anybody. Tennessee, lose at Georgia. Get behind BYU. Indiana's going to lose to Ohio State, I think. Indiana's going to be one of those one-loss teams that's in an at-large spot, probably.
Here's where it gets a little weird, because this hypothetical scenario is also out there. If BYU gets to the Big 12 title game undefeated but lose to Iowa State or Colorado or Kansas State, one of those three winners is not, I believe, going to be a top 12 team, Jerem. So they would then usurp somebody
to the top 11
in the top 12.
If Boise State is inside
right.
the top
11. Right, so the winner of the Big 12, if they upset BYU in this hypothetical scenario, would probably be the 11 or 12 seed playing a road game in the first round, and BYU would be a road
BYU's
team
on the road game.
Playing
on
a first-round game as well.
Iowa State, if they beat Kansas State in the regular season finale and win the Big 12, I believe they would be inside.
You think
the
they'd be a top 12?
Because they'd only have one loss, man.
Number 17
in
now?
The final
18,
yes, but in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, if they only have one loss still, you're inside the top 12.
You think they're
you're
in the top 12?
If you're a Power Four team with one loss on selection day, you're in the top 12.
But would they be better than Boise State? That is the question.
Now, that's a question,
because Boise State
they
jumps up.
Well, think about it, if they beat Kansas State and then they beat BYU,
they should leapfrog Boise State.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And then what happens in the ACC? You're the 3 or the 4.
Nick Ramsey 31 on Instagram answers, yes, BYU's disrespected. Rankings of blind resumes would look different than rankings with logos visible.
Now, that's interesting.
The blind resume conversation here is wild.
And you know what I want more from this committee? A lot of things. I want more transparency on what's being used to measure these things. In men's basketball, we have the team sheet and the metrics that they look at. Tom Homo was on that committee for 3 years, and we've asked him, what do they look at? What goes on there? We study this. So we look at that during the year. We don't know what they're using. Eye test. Are you serious?
If they want to point to the soft schedule.
What exact metrics are you using?
If they want to point to the soft schedule for BYU, how are you justifying Indiana's schedule? And they're saying, well, they overcame the soft schedule by eye test. Okay, great. What about Penn State's eye test? It's contradictions all over the place.
Yeah.
Man. We said, we'll learn what they value. Now we know. Apparently, it's style points and eye tests. And name brands. Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. At Third and Long, at Sapporo Moshan.
Third and Long. Yeah. T-H-U-R-D-I-N.
College football playoffs sent a clear message that Kalani will have to put sportsmanship aside and stomp on throats and show no mercy to pass the eye test. This becomes even more critical if we do drop a game at some point.
I don't see that. I just see BYU trying to win games, whatever that looks like. I would love it too. Women's basketball opening up the season tonight against Idaho. Speaking of a fun matchup, 9 Eastern on ESPN+. Spence and Kristen on the call.
Our Rise and shout out after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation continues. On demand, download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps. Listen to the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, goes to...
How about our dude Jackson Garrick, Big 12 Special Olympic Athlete of the Year from BYU. He's going to the Big 12 title game. We hope that BYU joins him in said game.
Amazing.
Jackson has a deep blue if you haven't seen it. This kid can shoot threes for days. He is unbelievable. Go check that out.
Fantastic story. Congratulations to Jackson. Very exciting moment for
him. I hope you see him on the sideline of that game.
I would love to. Our thanks to today's guest from CBS Sports, national college football writer Shahan Jayaraja.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7, X, Facebook, and Instagram. For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Keo Kealaluhi. We'll see you tonight for women's basketball on ESPN+, 9 Eastern. Go Cougs.